Christmas music season. I'm not allowed to listen to Christmas music until the day after Thanksgiving, so it is here. And one of my favorite Christmas songs is a rather unusual pairing of singers, and I know some of you have probably heard this one. In 1977, on his televised Christmas special, Bing Crosby, the king of Christmas music, invited rocker David Bowie to come on and sing a song with him. Now, originally the plan was to have the two sing a duet of The Little Drummer Boy. But when that plan was pitched to David Bowie, he said, that ain't gonna work. There's no way he was gonna go on TV and sing that song. He hated The Little Drummer Boy. The only reason David Bowie had agreed to even go on this old man's Christmas show was because David Bowie's mother loved Bing Crosby. And so the producers were left with a little bit of a conundrum. What are we going to do? We've got this spot, we've got David Bowie, but he's not going to sing the song. Bing wants to sing the song, Bowie won't do it. So they came up with an idea where they would write a contra melody that David Bowie could sing while Bing Crosby sang with The Little Drummer Boy behind him. And this is what they came up with. And I know the picture isn't great here, but let's listen. Pay particular attention to the words David Bowie sings.
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing. A newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Our
see the day of glory.
See the day
of living peace,
living peace. So
peace on earth.
Every child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can.
Pray my wish will come true.
It's
for my child and your child too.
I'll sing my
day of glory.
I pray my
day
for him
when men of good will live in peace, live in peace again.
And
peace on earth, can it be? Can it be?
It's a pretty thing, isn't it? I'm sure glad you came by to work out on the piano today.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see the day of glory, see the day where men of goodwill live in peace. I pray my wish may come true for my child and your child too. Peace on earth. You know, I think it's all of our wish to have a more peaceful world. You know, I can't think about that phrase, you know, world peace, peace on earth, without thinking of all of those stereotypical beauty contests, you know, where Little Miss Wonderful is asked what she wants to accomplish during her reign, and she's, peace on earth. You know, it almost seems like a pie in the sky kind of a wish. And yet, every Advent season, every year as this rolls around, we celebrate the Prince of Peace. We remember the angels declaring to the shepherds peace on earth. And each week in worship, we express our desire for peace as we share the peace with our neighbors. And yet still, the world is far from peaceful. During each and every Advent, our season of preparation and waiting for Christ, we set aside 1 week to talk about peace, to remember peace, and we light the candle of peace. But should there be more? Think about it this way. Have you ever been surprised by a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, somebody giving you a Christmas present that you didn't expect? And you don't have one for them in return? Maybe you were a little embarrassed because you didn't have something to give them back? Well, each year we are reminded of the gift that we have been given in the life of Jesus Christ. The immense gift of God's holy presence here with us in human flesh. The greatest gift we could ever be given, Emmanuel, God with us. And what do we have to give in return for that? Well, you may have noticed we sang a different doxology today. We're going to be singing that one throughout Advent this year. And I think that that doxology says it best. The last couple of lines of that said, "What can I give him? I give him my heart." It is my prayer that this year, as we go through Advent, we learn more and more to give our hearts to God. Not temporarily, not partially, but totally and completely and forevermore. So how do we get through the holidays and beyond as people of peace? After all, that is our focus today, peace. Now, we heard a few verses from John's Gospel, and these take place just before Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. And Jesus promises the disciples that he will leave them peace. Not worldly peace, but his peace. But I wonder if they truly understood what it was he was talking about. Or whether we do, for that matter. After all, the Romans crucified him the next day. That doesn't seem very peaceful. The disciples fled and hid for fear that they too would be killed. That's not being at peace. The world continues to rage on, and peace seems to be farther and farther away from us. Oh, sure, we have moments of peace. Here in our small town, we lead fairly peaceful lives, most of the time, even if occasionally we have elements that threaten our peace. This week, our family celebrated Thanksgiving. And while ours was wonderful, and I hope yours was too, I know that for many families, that wasn't the case. Maybe money is tight and the feast that we've all come to expect wasn't possible this year. Maybe there was that one uncle who just can't help but share his political views that differ from the rest of the family. Maybe there's a divorce imminent, and everyone present knows that this will be the last Thanksgiving with everyone around the table. You know, I think of my friend Keith, who I lifted up in prayer last week, who buried his son on Wednesday. I can only imagine that the empty chair at their Thanksgiving table caused a lack of peace in their hearts. So how do we be people of peace in this anything but peaceful world? Remember, after all, that on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us, "Blessed are the peacemakers." How do we be makers of peace? Well, first we have to work on peace within ourselves. In the small group book that goes along with this series, we are reminded that Martin Luther King once said that true peace is not merely the absence of tensions, but it is the presence of justice. Peace cannot exist in the world without justice. And we know that we live in a world that is often unjust. Now, usually how at least I react to injustice is with impatience, frustration, and even anger. And anger doesn't feel very peaceful. But sometimes if we can properly channel our anger, it can be used to bring about something healthy and productive and life-giving for others and ourselves. Something just, something that can bring peace. After all, Jesus got angry sometimes. He was known to flip over a table or two when the situation called for it. Anger in itself is not a bad thing. It's how we use our anger that can be sinful and hurtful. If we look at what it is that's making us angry, is it something that we're afraid of? Do we feel threatened? Do we feel powerless in a situation? Those are the things that can bring anger out in us. And if we can find that core cause for our anger, then we can begin to see what needs to change. But even with that, we need to be allowed to feel what we feel. It's okay to feel angry. It's sometimes when we act on that anger that we get into trouble. If we can react in healthy ways to change situations so as to bring about justice for all people, then our anger can be useful. After all, the peace that Jesus spoke about was not just an absence of conflict, which is usually how we think about peace. As long as nobody's fighting, there's peace. But Jesus would have been speaking of the Jewish idea of shalom. And shalom means a lack of conflict, yes, but also shalom means to be healthy, to be complete, to be at peace. Shalom means full and complete restoration of all creation. Peace and wholeness within ourselves is just a tiny part of shalom. Shalom must also include peace, wholeness, and health in our relationship with others, with entire communities, and with the world. True shalom means fullness of health, true prosperity and justice, not just for us, but for everyone. So if we are to be peacemakers of the kind of peace that Jesus spoke of, then we must work for health and for justice for all people, not just for our family and friends, not just for those here in Miller, not just for South Dakotans, not just for Americans, not just for Christians, but for all people everywhere. We can be shalom makers in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our votes, in our shopping, in our eating, in every aspect of our lives. We can contribute to shalom in this world, or we can diminish it. Paul, in our Ephesians reading, gives us some ways that we can begin to incorporate shalom or peacemaking into our lives. And if we break it down, his tips are, number one, speak truth. Not just your truth, but the truth. Even if the facts work against you, truth is more important than our egos. Watch your anger, he says. Be angry without sinning. If you are angry, do so in a way that doesn't harm anyone else. Remember, use your anger to bring justice for all. Paul also has something today to say about stealing. But I think he's talking about more than just the theft of material things. Don't steal anyone's hope or dignity. Don't steal joy. Use your words and your actions for good. And practice empathy. Give to others the compassion that you would want in their situation. He says to watch your language. Always a tricky one. But I think what he's talking about is more than just eliminating a certain set of naughty words from our vocabulary. But rather, we should refrain from any words that demean or dehumanize or degrade others. He says, use your words to build up, not tear down. And he says, to guard your heart. Rid yourself of anything within you that is not of love. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving, for God intended us to be one people, diverse, just as the different parts of the body are diverse, each with their own function, each with their own look, each their own way of being, but all are integral to the well-being of others. The heart needs the lungs, the stomach needs the brain, the hands need the eyes. We are each different. We think differently, we act differently, we look differently, but we are intended one for the other. We don't need everyone to think and act and look like us. We need to love them for who and what they are. When we can begin to do these seven things, we can be shalom makers in this world. We can be people of peace. It is possible. Jesus has given us peace, not as the world gives, but his peace. So let us harness that power of the Holy Spirit that is with us and in us and truly begin to be a people of peace. Peace on earth, can it be? It can. And let it begin with me. Amen.